Welcome to this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. I'm Shauna Lee, modern day woman living a mystical life. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about something near and dear to my heart, something that has saved me time and time again and my family. And it's almost miraculous. It kind of has this miraculous effect. I discovered homeopathy about 5 years ago when my son was only a few months old. We were out looking for alternatives to over-the-counter or prescription medicines for things like common colds or flus, and my husband and I were very protective at the time, and we still are today, about what we put in our bodies, and certainly the body of our new baby. You know, we realized that toxicity is a cumulative issue, and that by keeping an eye on what we ate and really being mindful of eating organic and non-GMO, eating those high-quality foods, and by keeping toxins out of our household products and our self-care products, that we could lessen the cumulative toxic load on our bodies. But we wanted to go a step further, and we wanted to have those tools in our medicine cabinet for the relief of, you know, viruses and bacterial bugs. So that's when we came across homeopathy, and we were blown away at how fast this simple remedy worked in our bodies and in our son. He was rarely ever sick. We were able to stop illness in its tracks in the first 24 hours on most occasions. And it seemed to quickly rebalance the body. We even came across a natural homeopathic alternative to vaccination called homeoprophylactics. So the proof is in the pudding. I mean, homeopathy became part of our lives and literally has been ever since. And this week, I had naturopath, licensed acupuncturist, functional medicine expert, and homeopath, Dr. Carol Lori, on the show. Carol has over 30 years of experience in providing integrative health care, and her proprietary process, the Lori process, helps people reclaim their health by looking back at the roots of their illness and creating a timeline for the development of the disease, from the root causes to current stressors that are always unraveling the why and the how of the illness, and truly illuminating the path back to wellness. And on today's episode, Dr. Lori shares about the principles of homeopathy, how it works in the body, and how a homeopathic remedy is created. She also shares about using homeopathy not just for physical ailments, but emotional healing as well. So with no further ado, the insightful Dr. Carol Lori. Carol, I am so happy to have you on the show today.
I'm really honored and really excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. And we're going to be talking about homeopathy today. And you are an expert in this subject. And I know that you have so much to share. And so if you could just dive into a little bit about you and how you got involved in homeopathy and understanding this amazing healing modality.
Well, I didn't really know what homeopathy was, I don't think, until I was a student at the National College of Naturopathic Medicine in Portland, Oregon. And that was one of the electives offered. And my teacher at the time was Robin Murphy. And I was really enthralled by how it approached health and healing. It's a different perspective than any of the other integrative modalities that I was learning. And homeopathy is not well known what it does and really what it is, because it's a controversial topic right now. And unfortunately, some vitamin companies have called their products homeopathic remedies, which weren't correct, but then they got into trouble with the FDA. And now there's this big FDA investigation about homeopathic remedies, and they're saying they're unsafe. So for people who don't know what homeopathy is, it was discovered by a physician in Germany in the late 1800s. And in those days, diseases were much in some ways simpler than they are now. There was syphilis, there was tuberculosis, there were a lot of lung problems. There weren't complex immune illnesses as there are now. And the physician there started using certain regular drugs like sulfur or regular chemical products like sulfur. And he found that if he gave them in diluted substances, they cured certain illnesses that people were suffering from in those days without any of the drug side effects. So then he went on to develop potentization. And this is what differentiates homeopathic remedies from vitamins and drugs and any other products. When you take a substance from the earth or the sea or the ocean or the air or imponderables, any of the substances that can be made into homeopathic remedies, you're taking a little bit of that product. Let's say, for an example, an oyster shell, which is the homeopathic remedy calc carb or calcarea carbonicum. So we're taking a tiny bit of this oyster shell and we're putting it in a vial with a certain type of alcohol, a certain amount of alcohol, and we're succussing it or pounding it. It's usually done by a machine, but or on the hands, 100 times. So that's your first dilution. And from that little vial, you then take a drop and you put it into the next vial and you pound it or succuss it 100 times. So by the time you get to where you have an actual remedy, there is no live molecular or biological product of the substance left. And that is what differentiates homeopathy from drugs or vitamins. Now, with that information, there can be no negative side effects with homeopathy. You can't overdose on a homeopathic remedy. It will either work or it will not work. But some of these instances that caused the FDA to get involved is people took what the label said was homeopathic remedies and they got worse or they got very ill. And I don't know the exact parameters of what products they were doing, but I know some of what's happened, the repercussions since, and it's very unfortunate because homeopathy works to stimulate a person's own immune system on an emotional, physical, spiritual level. It doesn't make someone worse in a physical way that they would get violently ill and have serious physical medical repercussions.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I think, you know, we continue to see a lot of different natural modalities get attacked in different ways by people and groups that aren't really understanding exactly what they are and how they work. And I've seen homeopathy be very effective in my life and in my family's life, and always known it to be a safe alternative and a powerful one because of what you just brought up. So we're not just talking about the physical level of health too. They also impact the emotional stuff that's going on. And can you talk a little bit about how that works? Because I think that really is different than people's idea of taking a supplement, right? That isn't really just for the physical body. Can you go into some of the emotional things that it helps with?
Yes. Homeopathy has the ability to help people recover from trauma or deal with long-time emotional components of their being in ways that are different from like a natural substance like a vitamin like lithium or Escaloft, a product that I use that has St. John's wort in it. What it does, when you take a homeopathic case, and I should back up a little bit and say that in the last 10 to 12 years, there are homeopathic clinicians and physicians who have taken homeopathy to another level. And I think that it's because homeopaths are very much in tune to what is required for humans on the planet at this time. So there was one doctor from the Netherlands who took the entire periodic table and made homeopathic remedies out of all of those and developed a system as to how to use those to find a homeopathic remedy in the mineral kingdom. And then he took that same philosophy and over a period of years, he developed it for the plant kingdom. And that has made it very easier, much easier, to be able to take the gestalt of what a person is and begin out of the thousands of homeopathic remedies to begin to figure out where are they. Now, a baseline is, are you an animal? Are you a mineral? Are you a plant? Or do you need an imponderable remedy? And what those categories do, each one of those categories look at the world from a different perspective. And if you think about an animal, they are like a lion or a tiger. They're out there and they're looking at the world for what can I eat? Who can I kill? And that's a very, I mean, it's a very simple way of being. They're in, it's not a judgment. It's like they're in the wilderness, they're in Africa, they got to eat, they're hunters. So animal, people who are animal remedies tend to see the world as us versus them. And that is a very different perspective than somebody who needs a plant. A plant, when you think about a plant, it sits in the earth, it's grounded in the soil, and it flows with the season, and it's in a way, it's a victim to the weather, and is there going to be enough water? And plants look at life from more of they're a victim to their environment and their circumstances. They don't respond in an aggressive way as an animal would. The mineral kingdom is a very linear left brain perspective on dealing with their reaction to trauma and their life. For example, if somebody is getting divorced, an animal person may get very aggressive and think about us versus them. A plant person would be, oh, I'm a victim to this horrible circumstances. And a mineral is going to make lists of what needs to be done. They'll divide the household products and they'll start meeting with the attorneys and they'll think about materialistically on a physical plane, how do I need to handle this? This is all a very different way of looking at the world. And how homeopathy has evolved with these different categories has been mirroring the complexity of society and how it's developed and evolved in the last 10 to 20 years.
So interesting. So so with the different categories, like the animal, the plant, the mineral, are you, based on the person, the way that they view, let's say, like you said, divorce, you would give them, like if they are more of the personality of like the animal, right? Are you giving them a constitution that is of that family? Or are you giving them something else to offset some of that? How does that work?
One of the basic components of homeopathic medicine is like treats like. Yeah. So when you take a person's case, you want to gather as much information about them on the physical, the emotional, the environmental, and how they react to the world and see the world as possible, and also spiritual. So I'm going to give a remedy that has as many characteristics as the person is exhibiting on all those levels. Like treats like, as opposed to, well, in Chinese medicine, and I am an acupuncturist, if somebody is cold and deficient, I'm going to give them herbs that are warming and will warm them as opposed to make them hot. So it is similar in Chinese medicine. You want to give somebody herbs that have the symptoms that the person is exhibiting. And in homeopathic medicine, you want to give somebody a remedy of the symptoms that they're exhibiting.
Interesting. So isn't there something called you're the expert on this, but I know just very little about it, but isn't there something called your like constitutional remedy, mm-hmm. like something that is created just for you?
Yes. Well, your constitutional remedy can change.
Right. Sure.
It depends what lifestyle, life moment you're in, not lifestyle, life moment you're in. So we have the constitutional remedy that we need from the traumas or of our childhood. That is one remedy. And that taking somebody's case and working with them is sort of like peeling away an onion. You can start at the top layer and you give one remedy and that clears some energy. And then they come back several months later and they for a repeat and they might need another remedy or they may still be really working wonders on that one remedy. Homeopathic remedies can work for years. One dose can work for years. So you have different constitutional remedies, I think, at different times of your life. And if you're doing really well, let's say someone came in to see me for just, they're turning 40 and they're having some life moments and they want a little uplift. And I gave them a remedy for where they are in that moment. And then years later, they're going through a divorce. And that is a life stressor event, and they're feeling out of sorts, and they might need a different remedy. Or their constitutional remedy may have the ability to take them through the stressors of separation and divorce, or whatever that trauma is. So a constitutional remedies can really last a really long time. And if it's the right remedy, it can encompass and take care of a lot of immediate acute stresses in someone's life. There are even times when I've given somebody a constitutional remedy for when they had the flu, and it really made them get over the flu and recuperate much quicker.
Yeah. And so I'm fascinated because when you say that, you know, when you're using the shell as the example, and it's broken down and broken down and broken down again, what is it that's actually having the effect? Are you then ending up with just the energy of the shell at the end of the day that is the remedy? What's when you ingest a remedy, which for people that don't know, can you just describe what homeopathy looks like and how you take it?
Sure. First of all, this is some of the area that gets people aggravated, I should say, or utzed. That's a Carol word, utzed, which means aggravated, upset, and irritated. I made that word up about homeopathy. It is energy. It's the energy of the substance. So that's how it works without causing any side effects or any the possibility of no physical damage can happen from a homeopathic remedy. Homeopathic remedy comes in several, it can look several different ways. You can get a little amber bottle with a label on it and has liquid in it, and you're told to activate it or succuss it on your open palm and then put a few drops in a glass of water and either drink the whole glass or take a teaspoon or a tablespoon. That is one way of taking a homeopathic remedy. You can be given these little white sucrose pellets, and that can be of different sizes. Some of them are very tiny. Some of them can be larger, and you can be told to take anywhere between 1, 3, or 5 of these pellets once a day, twice a day, once a week, once a month. Everybody can, there's no one way to take a homeopathic remedy when you're working constitutionally. When you're working with an acute situation, and I've seen a lot of people come in with the flu, and the symptoms are very present and very serious. And I'm not saying they should take the flu, not take the flu shot, or only see me as a homeopath and not get proper medical care. I'm just talking about how homeopathy would work in an acute situation like this. I would have them take the remedy probably 3 to 5 times a day. And one of the things about working in an acute situation is you'll start out with symptom picture, and I'll just call it number one, and then you'll give a homeopathic remedy, and the person will start to climb out of the acute illness, and they'll present with different symptoms because they're slightly better. And then it's very often that I'll need to give another remedy to take them out of that acute illness even further, and then maybe even a third remedy to totally have them recover, at which point I might a week later redose them with their constitutional. So when people get the flu, they present with different symptoms, and those symptoms mirror the type of constitution they are. This is getting into a little bit of complicated homeopathic and Chinese medicine philosophy, but if somebody is very run down and weak, they might get a stronger version of the flu than somebody who has been taking better care of themselves and eats a little bit less sugar and does some immune boosting supplements on a regular basis. So the people that I've been working with and who see me on a regular basis in my practice, I started immune boosting supplements with them around Halloween at the end of October. So the people who have come in to see me who have come down with the flu, let's say I'm going to make a number from 0 to 10. Some people end up in the emergency room if they're 7, God goodness forbid. And the people who come to see me usually have symptoms anywhere between a 3 and a 5. So they have gotten the flu, but they've taken care of themselves and it didn't, you know, attack them as strongly as somebody who just hasn't taken care of themselves.
Sure. And that makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, a lot of alternative remedies and supplementation, you know, proper supplementation, things like that, make the body stronger. So it's not that we never get sick, but your right. body's able to shake it a lot easier, and you know, hopefully don't end up down a road where it's really tough to move beyond that. And I think it's interesting. I mean, I know, I'm sure that talking about the energy of homeopathy, some places might get people up in arms. Right here, it's going to get people excited.
I hope so.
We talk all about energy and frequency and things of that nature. And so I'm interested in knowing more about that, because, certainly the listeners of this show love to go down the rabbit hole of the energy. So is what was discovered then basically is that you could extract the energy of a substance, and that would then affect the energy of the physical body of the person?
Yes. Oh, I don't know if the word is extract or if the substance would give it up. I mean, it's like the substance, when put in the alcohol and it's succussed, activated 100 times, and you take a drop out of it and put it into the next vial and the next vial and the next vial.
All that's left is the energy of it.
Right. And the substance imparts its energy into the last dilution, so to speak. And it's sort of a gift from the product, from nature and our planet, that we have these substances that can make a huge difference for people. I go to advanced homeopathic classes several times a year with my esteemed teachers. And I've been studying homeopathy since 1979. So it's evolving. There's always more to learn. It's a very exciting field now, especially. I've seen it handle complex situations for people that know other modality. And I know a lot about a lot of different modalities would have been able to handle in a curative way. And I don't use the word curative very often, but I've seen homeopathic remedies cure very complex autoimmune illness, post-traumatic stress syndrome, weird physical symptoms where, the person had been to 5 different neurologists and endocrinologists, and all of the tests were, quote, normal, and they were not making this up, but they had these weird complex symptoms. And the person who was taking the case has the ability to let the symptoms evolve to the point where they can pay attention to the clues of what the symptoms are giving off, and then follow those clues to match a remedy to what the person needs. And it's been curative for many, many people. So for people out there who have, quote, weird symptoms, strange, unusual symptoms, and you've been worked up by many medical doctors, and they go, we don't know what it is, or this is an issue for me. They say, well, we don't know what it is, but here's some antidepressants. We think that might help you. If you know you're not depressed, I want to encourage people not to go down that path. There's always a reason for symptoms, and sometimes you just have to continue to search, find different integrative physicians or a homeopath, and stay on your path to recover your health, because you deserve that.
Yeah, I love that message. It's so important, because sometimes, we don't have the answers, or we haven't found people that have the answers. And yet there's so many modalities out there, which is why I love to talk about them, as many of them as possible on this show, because, like homeopathy has been for a lot of people, the answer to the question where nobody else could answer the question. And it's, like you said, a safe alternative and something that's easy to take and ingest. And mm-hmm. you can see that immediate shift from, and I know we use it here in our household on the onset of any colds or flus or anything like that. And, sometimes it doesn't fully manifest, and other times we just kind of skate through it in a much easier way. And so it's, had an effect on our lives. And having a five-year-old son, you know, who goes to like pre-kindergarten,
right?
It's new things come home every day.
I remember those days. I remember, you know, my daughter's about to be 23, but I remember sending her to school, daycare, and you know, 15 of the kids were sick and my kid wasn't. Why? Because she took her liquid echinacea every morning. And then I would give her homeopathic remedies if something started. So homeopathy is wonderful for children.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's very easy. And the little pellets that you described, I mean, they taste good. And my son is fine taking them. And so it's, you know, it's hard in those ages of like, you know, 2 to 6 or 7 to get them to take certain things and to eat all their vegetables. And, you know, those things are challenging for families. And so it's been a great alternative in our household. And I think that it's important that we provide the truth and the information to people, because like you said, I find more and more in my practice and also around in my personal life, the amount of people that are misdiagnosed with things or experiencing like, nobody can tell me what's wrong with me. I don't feel good. I'm having this symptom. And doctors just look at me. And like you said, they said, you know, they give a prescription that's kind of like, well, I'm not sure, but you can try taking this.
Yeah. And I can't stand that.
I can't stand that. And it's happening all over. I just feel like more and more cases of it pop up, even in my daily life. I mean, I run into people sometimes and they just kind of share things and I go, ugh. So I think we're in a point where we need to really inform ourselves and really become our own advocates for our own health and seeking out alternatives. And so I can't say enough good about you and what you do. And I would love for you to share where people can find out more about you and your specific work that you do.
I'm located in the East Bay in Berkeley, California. And my website is Carol Lurie, LURIE.com. I work with Skype, people all over the country. And I actually have a few people in Europe that I consult with. So that's the beauty of the internet, like we're using right now. I really want to reinforce this topic that you brought up of not giving up and believe that you have the ability to feel well. And if you have weird, quote unquote, symptoms, just keep following the path and trust that the universe is going to bring you to the right combination of doctors or practitioners to help you recover your health. Don't take, we don't know what's going on, take this pill. I'm not an anti-drug person, but that attitude really gets me upset. I had a gentleman with weird symptoms. They couldn't quite decide if it was a seizure disorder or a REM sleep disorder, and he had been taken down to Stanford to the head of the neurology department, and the guy sat there and said, well, we don't know what it is, but here, take this anti-seizure medication. And his wife, who's a colleague of mine, said, well, you know, I would never tell somebody to take a toxic drug if we don't know what we're dealing with. And he goes, well, if they don't happen, then that's a sign that we're on the right path. And you can just get off the drug if you don't like it. And she said to the neurologist, you can't get off this drug easily. It causes seizures if you get off the drug. So needless to say, they didn't start the drug and they found another neurologist who diagnosed him with REM sleep disorder and wanted him to take like some version of Valium every night. And his wife said, no, we're not going to do that. And they came to see me and I worked with him metabolically so that we lessened the frequency of the attacks and the severity of the attacks. So sometimes you need to do a combination of traditional medicine and integrative care to find the cure for your path. And that is a message that I want to really impart to people, that there's a lot of wonderful information out on the internet. There's a lot of, especially in California, there are a lot of really experienced integrative practitioners out there, and we're just waiting to help everyone recover their health.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. And like you said, it doesn't need to be either or. It can be a really nice blend of traditional medicine with alternative practices as well. And again, every body is different. Everybody is different. And we don't know exactly what it is that's going to work for you until you try some of these different modalities and kind of look into what's the right mixture, right, for you.
Right.
And so that only comes from discovery. And I can't recommend your work enough because, again, having the Chinese medicine background along with homeopathy and the other things that you do, it just makes you have a really well-rounded idea of these different ancient modalities that
right.
have been utilized for a long time with much success. And so I love that. And I want you to share a little bit about the program that you have, if you would.
Sure. I hope I'm in the middle. I shouldn't say I hope. I'm in process of launching. I do a lot of work with women with breast cancer, and I feel there is a really big need out there for empowering women through their diagnosis and their treatment and recovery. So I'm starting an online course, which is going to be evergreen at stage one. It's called thrivethroughbc.com, and that which stands for thrivethroughbreastcancer.com. And there's five chapters of it. There's tips and there's tools. There's empowerment. There's a lot of centering mind-body meditation moments. There's a nutritional component to help women figure out how to eat. And there's a lot of talk about energy, grace, and empowerment. And this is something that is near and dear to me. I have many women in my practice who I've helped through very aggressive cancer treatment, and they've come through it. And I know this sounds weird, but they've come through it in sort of better shape than they were when they started. And that's my hope, that breast cancer can be a transformative process. And I'd like women to tap into all of that so that when they're finished their treatment, their tumor, the active part of this is managed, but we can then continue our healing and work on a deeper level with our spiritual and psychological approach, but also with the mind body and the micro tumor microenvironment approach to really lessen the possibility of the tumor recurring.
Yeah, I love that. That's so important. And we know, I mean, I talk about it a lot on the show that, you know, a lot of the physical manifestations of disease are happening far before that in the emotional and mental and spiritual level. And so to really ensure, you know, if we do get a physical manifestation of something, we want to really then ensure that we handle that, but that we also look at what else is at play so that that doesn't reoccur, you know, and heal on those other levels. And I love that you say, you know, they even have probably a better quality of life and better health after the fact from learning what you teach and from learning how to take care of ourselves in better ways. I mean, certainly as women, there's a lot of belief systems in our culture that have us not take care of ourselves. And you know, to everybody's expense. And I think that that's turning around from people like yourself that are, you know, really teaching this stuff. And I think it's super important. So our future generation of young girls, you know, grows up knowing that they can take care of themselves in a multitude of ways.
Well, breast cancer as a disease itself, as a homeopath, cancer has a certain miasm or energy to it. And
yes.
For women with cancer, the energy is rush, 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 do, 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 making lists, thinking about everything you have to do all the time, every day, and also being slightly codependent in taking care of everyone else, and there's no time for you. And cancer is also, there's a genetic component. So if you're somebody in your female line had breast cancer, you might have the gene, there's a high, more likelihood that you might end up with this illness. But there's the environmental, that we're being exposed to toxins and estrogen disruptors more and more every day. So all of that will be talked about in my course. But what I want to say to women out there with the rush, 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 do, do, do syndrome, which is what I call it, the best thing we can do for ourselves and your daughters or your sons and your spouses is to take care of yourself, because that energy is really vibrates throughout the whole family and your whole life. And people come in to see me and they have a cancer diagnosis. And when I take a really detailed history. So not only what do you eat, but how do you eat? You can't believe how many women never stop doing what they're doing. And they are like putting food in their mouth and they're working or they're on their phones or they're in the car or they're talking and they don't take a moment to have the food nourish them. So that is, I think, very sad.
Yeah.
So I think we all, I have this thing, you know, I don't eat standing up. You have to sit down. Everybody can take 10 to 15 minutes and say a little 30-second blessing before we eat the food and then have it nourish us. And I've helped women lose a lot of weight just with this attitude shift. Not that everybody needs to be skinny, but they had some metabolic issues that required they needed to take some pounds off. And they were not aware of how much they were eating because they weren't paying attention to eating because they were working while they were eating.
It's so true. We did an episode a few months back called Digestive Psychology. Mm. We talked a lot about the way we eat. You know, we're so focused on what we eat. Mm-hmm. We were talking a lot about the way we eat. And it was a fantastic conversation. And you bring up a great point. And so I just can't recommend that type of work enough for people that are going through that process of being diagnosed with breast cancer. And I want to thank you for doing that, because I think it's an important conversation that we need to be having at bigger and bigger levels. And thank you for creating that program. And I want to end our interview with the four questions that we ask all of our guests on the show, where we get to know your life a little bit more and your journey. And it's based on a process called the Anatomy of Transformation, which is my proprietary process that I take people through. And the first step is truth. And I really believe that the truth heals us, that we can get to our own inner truth about things, that some profound shifts happen. And so what is a truth that you've come across in your life that really created a shift for you?
What comes up is that I love my work. It's a calling. And I've had to work really hard to get debris off my path so that I can bring my message in a clearer way to all the women out there.
Mm, I love that. That's so powerful. And the second pillar is release, which is really interesting because when we realize, you know, when we say, I have got a big calling and I want to step out there in the world in a bigger way, there's always things that need to be released so that we can do that. And release is always the stickiest part for people because, you know, it's like sometimes I think we avoid the truth because we don't want to admit to ourselves what we need to get rid of in the sense of maybe a limiting belief or, you know, time constraints or other people that don't believe in us or whatever it is that it is holding us back. What is something that you had to release so that you can continue, so that you could build this program, so that you could continue to do this work in a bigger way?
I think it has, well, I think maybe unworthiness.
That's so beautiful.
That my message, what I had to say really was important, and that I am unique in my personality and the way I care for women and the way I want to deliver it. And it is a worthy message. When you put yourself out there, when you're doing the similar work that we do, Shauna, it's like, it's an internal process for all of us to, we're always working to get better in ourselves, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. So we have to walk the walk in order to talk the talk. So I'd say unworthiness is, a good one, releasing unworthiness.
That's so beautiful. And I want to say that I don't think that there's anybody that doesn't have to release that on some level. I think that's something that binds us all together. And like you said so beautifully, when you get called up to a bigger purpose, it's a constant process of shedding what holds you back from speaking more of your truth, from putting things out there. And it's real, and it's an extraordinary life experience. And it's also, you know, there's the vulnerability and there's, you know, fear that you have to work through. There's all that that's in that process. And that's what makes it so great, is being able to make friends with those things and step forward anyways. And so I love that answer so much. And when we release unworthiness, there's a clearing that happens, right? A different set of possibilities for the future. And the third pillar is called experience. And it's really a shift in the way that we experience life, because when we're living from not really telling ourselves the truth or feeling unworthy in certain ways, we're just not going to take certain actions in life. And so, you know, letting go of unworthiness and releasing that, what's opened up for you?
When you get in touch with your shadow side and you really begin to engage in, our society doesn't talk about this. Our society doesn't value engaging in your shadow side. And this is one of the aspects of my course. When you start engaging with your shadow side, or in the case of the course, your tumor, what are the messages that it speaks to you? So I think the experience for me is that there is no limit. If you do the work and you're connected to your inner spirit and femininity, you have the ability to really expand out there as much. There's no limits. So that's my experience. And that's my spiritual desire, to just expand and bring the message to as many women as possible.
I love it. And you're doing it. It's limitless. And the fourth pillar is called align. And when we start to live in that limitless way, like you are, and sharing your gifts in bigger and bigger ways, there's alignment to me is like the glue that holds us in this different frequency, right? Because we literally change the frequency of our life when we stop living out of unworthiness, and we start really sharing ourselves, our unique selves, with the world. And alignment can be alignment with spirit. It can be people. It can be experiences. It can be colleagues. It's whatever holds you and believes in you, right? And pushes you forward in this new frequency. So for you, what is alignment for you?
For me, alignment is being connected inside of myself, because from that, everything else comes. So if the tree is, you know, firm in the earth with the roots, and then it flourishes and it receives nutrients from the ground and the earth, and all the branches that come out are sturdy and beautiful. And there's the photosynthesis, and it's receiving oxygen and air and everything and providing nutrients. That's alignment. So if you're connected to yourself and your foundation is firm, and when you're connected to yourself and your feet are in the earth, they're also connected to your unconscious. So you have to really pay attention to that, because what's unconscious comes up and will grab your rear end, and you'll go, oh, I didn't know that I had this problem. Or it will keep turning the volume up until you get sick with an autoimmune disease or something else. It keeps like giving you little clues, and you go, not doing this now. And then the volume gets so loud that you are sick and you can't get out of bed in the morning. So for me, it's alignment. And the more I work with women in their journeys for health recovery, the more I really feel like the majority of chronic disease has its foundation in trauma. So if we can attend to that and keep our bodies in alignment, the repercussions of that can be much less than if we just put it in the closet and close the door.
Oh, 100%. I always say, if we can catch it at the point of a whisper, it's a much easier path.
Yeah.
Because it will knock down your door at some point, right? If you're not listening. And I love the way that you said that so eloquently. And it's a call for all of us to listen within. And so I think that's one of the most beautiful alignments we can have, is the alignment with self and truly listening at deeper and deeper levels. And that's what you're helping women do. And so I just want to say that I'm really grateful for you, Carol, and the work that you're doing and the blessing that you are and what you share with the world. Because like we said, it's not always easy to really step up and step out, and you're doing that. And that's just the mark of greatness. And so thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your work with us.
I'm honored to be here. It's been really wonderful and joyful. Thank you so much.
Let's talk about taking some serious action. If you're new to the Take Action section, we take a new action each week to move closer to our intentions. So our Take Action item this week is to look at the toxic load in your life. Are you eating conventional foods or eating out more than you want to, more than you're looking at eating organic foods? Are you using products in your home or on your body that have chemical ingredients, you know, the long ones, the ones you can't pronounce, or you're not sure what the ingredients are in the products that you're using? You don't have to throw it all out, but instead, a great idea is that as you run out of a product or a food, you may want to choose a toxin-free replacement. I'll be back next week with more positive vibes and powerful awakenings, sending you love and wishing you a great week ahead.